Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm co-host, Gigi Chick.
And our guest today is comedian, singer, sometimes actor, Amber Maida.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amber, your default setting is being a perfectionist?
Yes.
All right. Let's always start with where we always start, which is the beginning, because apparently you have to start somewhere. So when did you realize this quality about yourself?
So as being a perfectionist, I have shown up with quite a bit of notes to this podcast, because I'm always writing lists and whatnot.
Yes, it's so helpful because I'm such a scatterbrain, and it doesn't help that I'm a stoner, so I always forget things.
Which is really impressive, too, from the perspective of being a comedian. Like, I can't remember shit when I go on stage. I'm never high, so that's really impressive.
Oh, it's tough.
You're young, too, so your memory is probably a lot better.
Oh, it's shot. I can't even remember my name half the time. No.
That's it, too. I suck with names, and I feel so bad, like, I'll go to introduce Gigi to, like, our guests or whoever, and I'll be like, this is, and it's someone I've met 100 times, and it's just gone. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so you made a list.
And it started when I was actually really, really young. I've always had a lot of anxiety about it, and trying to figure out what I was going to say on this podcast, I kind of wrote some things down, and I was like, oh, maybe I did have something else, like, influencing me. My mom was a ballerina.
Oh, wow.
So, stage mom.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Yes. And as you know, and as Gigi can see, I am not a petite person. I've never been. And I think the way that my mom would treat my weight issue, because I've always been this way. I have never not been larger than whatever. But she would, since like second grade, she would had me on like 12 diet pills a day.
Oh, wow.
I would go on field trips and I would have like Slim Fast, just like the one can in my lunchbox.
Oh, my God.
So like always being told that like you're not good enough. But then I would also do like crafts and projects with people. And, you know, like you're coloring, you're supposed to have fun, like, you know, color inside the lines maybe. But I was at the point where if I made one mistake, I would rip up the whole thing and be like, no, this is not good. And I would just have like so much trash around me because I had to be perfect. And if I made one mistake, it wasn't perfect and I had to throw it out and start all over. So that was pretty early on.
Do you have siblings?
I have one younger brother. I do have siblings that I don't know.
Okay.
On my biological father's side.
Okay.
But I've never met them, so it doesn't matter.
So your experience growing up, was what your mom sort of pushed exclusive to you, or was it affecting
yes,
your brother too?
Because he's 5 years younger, so we do have that gap. I felt like I was kind of raised as an only child because we were just so different. And he's obviously had his own issues and struggles that he's had to overcome, but he was very skinny as a child, so he didn't really have the issues that I was having with, like, dieting and from, like, second grade. So, no, he didn't really have to deal with that. I think he got bullied at school because he was dyslexic.
Okay.
But, yes.
Did your mom put any pressure on him at all from the perspective of, like, education or learning because he was dyslexic, or?
We had a lot of resources when he was younger. Like when he was in elementary school, there were a lot of resources. They would just take him out of like the regular class just to, for like English. But other than that, he's like a bright kid, great at science, great at math. And then when my parents got divorced, I was 10, so he was like 5. Okay. And my mom really did take a step back with us. And so it was like my dad raising my brother primarily. And my dad didn't really put that pressure on him. And he always did sports.
Okay.
And I was the theater kid.
Okay. And was that of your own volition, or were you more sort of like expected to be in theater because your mom was a dancer?
I always wanted to be in theater. Okay. I've been singing since I was 4.
Okay.
And I've been writing songs since I was 4.
Well,
mm-hmm. I remember, this is like, again, like in second grade, but I was writing a song upstairs in my room and I just start bawling and I'm like, ah! And my mom comes up. She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, I can't say baby. And she's like, what? And I was like, NSYNC can say baby. And like Aaron Carter. And she's like, Amber, Britney Spears can say baby. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, you know, just like kind of the tunnel vision of just like, oh, this is what I thought it was. And yeah, it wasn't. It's just like, yeah, I don't know.
That's so cute.
Your mom, so you would say the initial sort of push to become a perfectionist came from your mom and sort of getting you to be a certain size?
Yes, because she's 5'5", blonde hair, hazel-eyed, petite, blonde woman.
Okay.
And I am pushing 5'8", large-breasted. Like, yeah. I have the face of my mom, but I have the coloring of my dad.
Okay. And your dad, is he from Hawaii?
Yes.
Okay.
So my mom's 100% German. Okay. My grandparents are immigrants from Germany. And my biological father is Hawaiian, Filipino, Chinese, and Spanish.
Right.
And then the dad that raised me, who I call dad, is 100% Japanese.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, the dad that raised you, that's who your mom married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
She had me at 19.
Okay.
And they just, I guess they didn't work out.
Okay.
Actually, she told me that it was kind of like a race card. The Hawaiian family didn't like her because she was white. But I've kind of like learned since then. I don't really think that's the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Do you keep in touch with your biological dad at all?
No.
Okay.
My dad adopted me when I was in second grade.
Okay.
So my last name changed to Maeda.
Gotcha.
It was before Ketterer Crab.
Ketterer Crab.
Ketterer
yeah.
Crab.
Okay.
That was a long name to spell out. Amber Lisa Kabaile-Hua Ketterer Crab.
That is intense.
It's a lot of letters.
Yeah.
So it's actually pronounced Maeda.
Yes.
Oh, I've been butchering it this whole
time. No, we tell white people it's Maeda.
Maeda, just because it's easier.
Yeah, yeah. On the mainland, it's Maeda, but when we go to Hawaii, it's Maeda.
But this is your adopted father's last name?
Yes.
And you said he's Japanese?
100%.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why is it pronounced differently in Hawaii then?
Because they get it.
Okay. So what do you go back for Hawaii for? Does he have family there?
Or? I have a ton of family still in Hawaii.
A biological family?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was born there, and I came to Michigan when I was like 4.
Okay.
But I have my whole German side of my family, grandparents, cousins, aunt, uncle, I guess he is. They're not married. And then my whole biological Hawaiian family. And then my Japanese side of the family, we still have a lot of family there too, like cousins and uncles.
In Japan or?
In Hawaii.
Okay.
And then my grandparents, my Japanese grandparents, my grandpa has passed. And then we moved my grandma to Michigan to take care of her.
Okay. And you're still close with, talk to your adopted dad, biological mom, or?
I have been estranged from my biological mom for 6 years now.
Okay.
My choice.
Sure.
And my dad's like, I'm really close to my dad.
Okay. So you and your dad are still, you still stay in touch and all that kind of
stuff? My dad that raised me.
Your adopted dad, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't talk to anyone that I share blood with,
interesting.
Really.
So you said you felt that initial pressure to become perfect from a physical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it start to leak over into other elements of your life, or has it? Is it just strictly physical? Or?
No, it's definitely in like everything.
Okay.
So my mom took me to a therapist probably when I was like second or third grade because of the whole like, this isn't perfect, must tear it apart.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's an artist, so she's used to changing it around and, you know, finding the mistakes or finding the beauty in mistakes and making it something else.
Okay.
And I just did not have that ability.
That's kind of ironic, really.
Right.
She was the one that sort of initially drove that.
Yeah, so it's like being pushed and pulled from both directions by the same person.
Hmm.
No, but she took me to a therapist because of the issues with perfectionism, and they made me do a craft that I hated, and I like didn't think it looked pretty, but they made me write, "It's okay to try again," which was like, it still stays with me to this day, but I was like, oh, this is so stupid. But it really did help me, and I've like had to push through that. Like I still feel like I want to be my best at all times.
Yeah.
But I don't have to. There's still that drive to want to be perfect all the time in every aspect. But then there's also like real life that gets in the way. Like I'm not wearing makeup right now, guys, at all.
She looks gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. I could use some concealer, but you know. So
you actually have amazing eyebrows. Like I wish I had.
Oh,
like,
I filled these in. I can't leave the house without my eyebrows.
Shit, your eyebrows are everybody at this table has better natural eyebrows than me. All my eyebrows are drawn on because I was like a 90s girl who like plucked the shit out of them. And now I have to draw them back on. I actually got them tattooed on last summer.
Ooh.
But they were like thin enough so that I could like if I didn't
play with it.
Yeah, exactly. So if I could add more, make it less. But like at least now when I wear no makeup, I don't walk around with like half a brow and a quarter brow.
Yeah.
So you said it affected you physically really young, and then it affected a lot of like your art, would you say, when you got into more like your
yeah,
second,
just like school projects in general. This kind of like veers off of it a little bit, but here, let's see in my notes.
Actually like, that's amazing that you brought notes because I'm pretty sure undiagnosed OCD.
Yeah.
And I would like to be able to do that stuff, but I also have some kind of like undiagnosed ADHD, I'm sure, which like I can't focus on anything long
Everything
enough to write some
hard.
Fucking notes. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So anyway, you have your notes.
Yes. I'm actually really horrible at asking questions, like asking for help.
Okay.
And I think that comes from wanting to put up the facade that I'm perfect.
Okay.
Like in school, it was really hard for me to ask the teacher for help.
I can relate.
And
to that.
I would just struggle.
Yeah.
I would just struggle through anything because I was just like, well, if I ask a question, she's going to think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I feel I realize that other people feel that way, but I was just a recluse growing up.
Okay.
Like, you know me now, you know
yeah,
I'm very talkative.
Yeah.
I was not as a child.
Okay.
Like, I was very quiet. I could not talk for hours and no one would notice.
Did that come from, like, a fear of some, like, being rejected?
Kind of like the relentless bullying. I don't know.
Oh, me too. I get that.
Yeah, that was fun. but we're better, right?
I mean, we're here and we're pretty women who are funny, like having a successful time in the Cleveland comedy scene. So
hey, something
changed. Something got better.
Yeah.
So what changed for you when you decided to become more sociable? Like,
I realized because I had been relentlessly bullied from kindergarten up until eighth grade. And then my bully went to a different high school.
Yay!
Bye. But when I got to middle school, I was like, oh, wow, like, I don't have friends. And maybe it's because I, like, don't talk.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, I was raised as, like, a bubble boy, but, like, a bubble girl.
Because
I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, no.
And I had asthma, so I was, like, exercise-induced asthma. So I also couldn't, like, be outside.
Out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which added to the fat.
Oh.
But I got to watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
And you watch all these movies about like the nerd that comes out of her shell. And I'm like, well, those are great.
She's all that.
Yeah. Movies like that. I love those, you know, underdog.
Redemption stories.
Exactly. So it's like, well, why do I have to wait on someone to change me when I can change myself? So then I was like, well, I'm just going to put myself out there, and if it doesn't work, you know, I'm just going to
be
super awkward.
It can't
be
any worse than it was already.
Exactly. Like, alone or, like, alone. Like, yeah. There's no really any risk.
Yeah.
So I just started putting myself out there, and my motto was, like, it's only awkward if you make it awkward. And, like, I always make it awkward.
That's her tagline on Twitter. Yeah. And I love it. It was fantastic.
Yeah. 10-year-old me was super smart. Super smart. So, yeah, and I realized that all confidence is, like, faked confidence.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote this all down.
This is so great because there's so many times where I feel like I'm flailing because I don't fucking write notes. And then I'm like, I was going to ask you something. Oh, shit, I don't remember what it was. Oh, crap. Make a joke. Do something stupid. And Gigi's like, please let me talk. And I'm like, but I'm freaking out and I need to say something right now.
That's when you just, like,
you're doing the side shoe dance. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it feels like.
But, like, honestly, all the confidence that people have is faking it, because confidence is just trusting that what you're currently doing in the present is going to get you what you want in the future, which means it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Ever. So if you're just constantly doing it, then you're faking it, and then it's like fake it till you make
it. Exactly.
But that's exactly what it is. It's like, if I'm faking it and people don't know that, then I'm just viewed as being confident. Therefore, aren't I?
Right. So. Ooh, look at that. Mind blown.
A little Confucius for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, there was this time where I think I thought, like, if you just kept faking it, the people would see me as I, like, quote, saw myself. But that wasn't enough of it. Like, I think there had to become a legitimate form of self-awareness, I think, at least from my perspective, because I literally thought about this the other day. I am one of those people that I grew up in the country, and my parents are extremely friendly people, and they smile at everybody. Just smile. And I would smile at people walking down the street. I would smile at people I, like, pass in the hallway. And if they didn't smile back or they scowled at me, I'd be like, that was stupid. Why did I smile at them? That was so dumb of me.
No.
And I actually had this realization the other day because it actually happened in my head for a second. I smiled at someone in the locker room at the gym and they just kind of scowled at me. And I was like, no, you know what? Fuck them. I was nice and smiled. Yeah. Like, and that was it. There was, for me, the huge epiphany was like, no, you know what? I'm being a reasonable / nice person. Mm-hmm. That person's being an asshole. Don't let that person make you feel lesser than or like a moron because you were trying to reach out like any normal human being.
Exactly.
So,
and you can't expect reciprocation.
Right.
But that's kind of like, you can justify it's like karma, because it's just like, well, I did my part as a human on this earth. Like, I was nice and I can just put out niceness. And if they don't reciprocate it, then that's their problem and they have to deal with that ugliness.
Yeah, absolutely. Gigi, I feel like you haven't said anything in a while.
The only profound thing I was about to say was, I smiled at someone in the locker room once, and then I was like, shit, was that creepy? I think
that, well, it depends on how you smile.
Were they naked?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
were
if you're smelling at him like that.
Yes.
No kidding. Touching yourself. Yes. Then that would be bad.
No, it's just you made me think of that. Like, I don't normally like have those like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Like, things in my head ever. And then I was like, oh God, did I just smile at someone in the locker room? Like,
yeah.
That wasn't
They were fully clothed. I was actually standing there in my bra and a towel doing my makeup, and they walked in, and I was just kind of like, just instinctively, for me, like, it's instinctive. I just kind of like, when I see someone, and they were just kind of like, they kind of rolled their eyes at me, and I had this moment where I was like, oh, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, no, you know what? Fuck you, lady. I just fucking smiled at you.
But then it's like annoying / refreshing when, like, I'll call her, like, Mary. This, like, older woman comes into the locker room, and she's like, how you doing? And, like, just stands there and has a full-blown, like, conversation with me while I'm changing. And I'm just like, I'm totally okay with this.
This isn't weird.
Because, like, she's just, like, the friendliest person. And
is that the person you smiled at?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Do you have, like, ladies, do either of you in your locker room that just, like, straight up throw down, just, like, strut around nude and, like, don't even?
Well, that's why I literally had to stop going during my lunch hour of work. Because it was all like
naked
middle-aged women walking around butt naked and talking for at least an hour after their workout. It was like post-workout chatty Kathy. And I was like, no. This is not happening. Like, I'm not.
And I just wonder, like, is this going to happen to us, or is it like a generational thing? Because from what I've heard, and this is apparently like, I have not heard an exception to this rule. My boyfriend, my ex-husband, multiple friends of mine, male friends of mine, say, number one, not only do dudes of a certain age just waltz around with, like, just everything literally hanging out, But there's a hair dryer phenomena in which they blow dry their balls.
What? Because the gooch gets, you know, steamy. And then you got Florida down there and your marshes.
Yeah. And so apparently this happens like regularly. Because it's funny because the first time I ever heard about it, I was reading an oatmeal comic. I don't know if you guys ever read The Oatmeal. He's an online web comic. He's actually amazing and really gorgeous. But he like was talking about like he goes to the locker room and he animates like these old saggy dudes like blow drying their balls. And I'm like, he's just doing that for comedic effect. Nope. No, I have had multiple men tell me, no, that is what they fucking do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, shit. And the other thing is, to Gigi's point, like there are women, like I would say between the ages of like 50 and 70 who just have stopped giving a fuck and just strut around with all their shit hanging out. And it just makes me wonder, like, is that going to happen? Like, am I just going to be like, I don't care anymore. Here's my tits.
I got home from work today and I dyed my hair. And because I had like the dye in my hair and I still had to like cook dinner, I just did everything in the nude.
Oh, yeah. I do. In my house, I do nude all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like, and I don't have like a problem like changing in front of people or other people being around me, but like some people just have terrible locker room etiquette.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, but now you're pissing me off because like you chose the locker right next to me when you have an entire locker room.
Yeah.
You're creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like,
you're in my bubble.
Number, number one, like, it's January and I'm like, you know what, guys? Can we just stop pretending? Like, you're going to be gone in like 2 months. Can you just stop fucking using my locker? Like, you're going to give up in like 6 weeks, if not less. So let's just stop pretending at me and give me my locker back.
Yeah.
That's number two, I just don't start.
You're like, I just bypass all of this shit. The other thing is like people will walk right up to like there'll be 40 treadmills and you'll be on one and they'll walk right up to the fucking treadmill next to yours. Sorry, we got off on a lot of tangents on this show.
No, that's fine.
I guess it makes me wonder like as you get older too, if like if it just becomes, you know, relating back to all of this, like I don't give a shit what I look like anymore. I don't have to worry about making it like, you know what I mean? Like you just get tired.
Well, it is. That's what I was talking about with like life coming into play where it's like I would love to be able to do my full makeup and my full hair every single day, and I did that in high school. Like I did not start wearing sweatpants until college when it was like necessary.
Right.
Like I went to Western Michigan University, which is on the west side of Michigan. So we had the lake effect from Lake Michigan. I was going to school during the polar vortex and I was like, I gotta wear sweatpants now. And I literally thought that like wearing sweatpants and wearing ponytails meant that you were quitting. Like you gave up.
Yeah. No, it was just necessary because it made no other sense to like go to all that trouble.
Yeah, do a shot of Fireball
before
you walk to class. I didn't
own sweatpants until like late college.
Yeah, but I love them now.
Now, like, literally that's all I wear.
Well, in my mind too, like, when I picture sweatpants, I picture like the tapered ankle, like cottony, where it starts to like pill in the crotch from the like from the friction.
Oh yeah,
and they're the least flattering things.
Oh, like, whereas, the old school.
Yeah,
like,
sweatpants.
So like, yeah, that was also the thing. That's what sweatpants were like.
See, I can't imagine.
There were no joggers.
I could never fucking. But now, like, you have on really. I was actually going to compliment you. You have on really cute track pants, which now
are
synonymous with sweatpants. And that's it. Like leggings, yoga pants, track pants. That's the thing. Those have become like chic. Like there's this whole like.
Thanks, Kylie.
Yeah. Athletic chic athleisure shit that people can wear now and look really fucking like stylish.
I'm so about it.
And I'm about that. Like I'm all about like if you can still look stylish, it's just like when you throw it on the ones that say pink on the butt, then you're just like, no, that's just an aesthetic that I'm not about. Like, you can throw on comfy pants and put your hair in a ponytail. Just like, you know, be conscientious of like,
right.
You know what I mean?
I think I got the ponytail thing from Mean Girls, though.
Okay.
Like, you can wear your hair up once a week. I guess you chose today.
Yeah. Like, such a good movie.
Yeah. I miss having hair. I haven't had hair to put up in like probably 5 years.
Yeah.
And I miss having. Do you miss, Jeej?
You know, I had a dream the other day that I had like long flowing hair, and then I went on a whole rant. Like, I wonder what it would entail to like just get like a weave.
I just bought
like just
hair
for
extensions
fun,
from
and then
China.
I was like,
you bought hair extensions? Your hair so
yes.
long.
Not right now. I actually, it used to be like down my back, and then I got high and like cut it all off.
Oh, yeah, I remember what she said. So she said she quote unquote cut it all off, but it was like what? Like
it was like 8 inches.
Shoulder length.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like short. See,
a little past my shoulder.
It wasn't like when I shaved my head bald.
No, she shaves her head. Like, she used to shave her head straight up bald.
But that was on accident.
It's fascinating to me that you, like, got high and cut your hair. I mean,
I just feel it.
See, but that's so, like, just so hippie, like, yeah, go whatever, with the flow, man. So is that a result of like you're getting better about like you're a perfectionist thing, or was it just you were so high that like that didn't come into play anymore?
A little bit of the second one.
Yeah. I mean, do you find like getting high helps you with like sort of that
compulsion?
Yeah.
Like I was a good girl in high school, like as far as like high school stereotypes go, I was the good church girl. I sang at church every weekend in the band. I have like so many community service hours. It's disgusting.
Really?
I've like gotten awards for it.
Wow.
By like eighth grade, I had like over 1,300 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did
a lot.
So if you ever got, you could just be like, I can commit several crimes now and I've got time served because I've just done all these community service
hours. I haven't done anything in a couple years.
Ooh,
so.
A couple of years. Yeah. Did you ever feel like you had to be, did you feel pressure about being like a good girl, like on your best behavior, or was that never really?
Well, it was from the church because my mom raised us very strict Christian. Like I couldn't listen to secular music until like late middle school.
Oh, okay.
We weren't allowed to say the word but.
Oh, wow.
In our household.
She just had a butt party, by the way, which now I'm understanding a lot more. It was a party themed.
Oh, it's amazing.
About butts. Like she was like, we're having a party. We had to choose a theme.
Where was I?
The theme was butts. It was back in Michigan, wasn't it?
It was back. It was a holiday party. And I asked all my friends, I was like, what should we like make this holiday party themed? And they're like, anal. And I was like, can we say butt? So like I can put
so
this on Facebook.
So even you were like, let's
scale it back
crazy
a little, y'all.
And not have it completely like, I love it. Anal. Is a theme. Like I would never even think of that as a
Here,
theme.
We played a pin the dildo on the butthole.
Yeah,
everyone got to cut out their own dildo.
Oh,
we made a cutout out of construction paper butt, but then that butthole is the end of a balloon, which was just so perfect.
The
we
butthole
poked it through.
Is the end of a balloon?
Yeah, you can see it, and it's pretty great.
Oh, wow.
It's poking through the construction paper.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
There it is.
And then there's fingers. Someone made fingers to stick in there.
That was gross. The fingers are backwards,
so
it's like... It's
They're
like the
too.
Middle finger
yeah,
and the
it's
ring
like someone
finger.
Someone bent their fingers backwards.
Yeah, that guy
someone
doesn't know how to draw. He's an amateur.
Gosh, that's impressive, though. And then, like, you guys had, like, what, like, melted candy bars?
It was unwrapped candy bars, Snicker bars. We had rump roast sliders. It was pulled pork. Who cut the cheese platter?
So we had
a bunch of cheese. Yes.
This is actually pretty fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
And then we had black balloons everywhere, and people are like, what is this? We're like, rabbit poop. Just everywhere. all over the place.
Duh.
I wore pink socks.
Okay.
Which was meta. You know, that was a little, you got to go a little deeper for that one. Or outside. I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
It means when you're having the butt sex, but then you're like, butthole canal like comes out.
Oh, that's like prolapsed anus thing. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Prolapsed anus.
You gotta go to the hospital. That's like my biggest fear. That's why I will never do
butt sex.
Mm-mm.
I am like the reason I'll probably end up being with my current boyfriend forever is like he not only like has never asked, but he's also like, I would prefer if we just never, like he doesn't want to put his hands anywhere near my butthole.
Mm-mm.
Like he doesn't want anything to do with buttholes.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
ever.
Cool with that.
Like he's just, I'm like, yep, this is probably why we'll be together forever.
Well, this is why we kind of had the butt party is because my friend group back in Michigan, we're all like kind of different ages. You know, we're boys and girls. We're just a huge group of friends. But the one thing that we can like divide the room by is butt stuff or no butt stuff. And like, I'm on the no butt stuff. Sorry,
no
guys, but also
butt.
Not. But I have like friends that are like, yeah.
It's very hard to be a perfectionist when you want to stick something in a hole that has more bacteria in your entire body.
Oh, it's so gross.
And it's just, there's everything about it is disgusting. And that's the thing. Like, if for some reason, a lot of dudes, it just doesn't occur to them. Like, this is the most disgusting thing that you can do to a human being in, like, the confines of sexual activity is, like, this is where poop comes out and you want to stick your hands and your mouth and
that?
Your penis in there. And in any other context, like, if I were just to shit on a plate and give it to you, you wouldn't want that. But yet you're willing to, like, be like, yeah, I'm going to stick my tongue right in there. And that's just how that's, like, I just don't
eat
get
that booty like groceries.
I don't understand. And that's, and maybe that's, like, a priss/perfectionist in me is just like when people talk about eating ass, like even just talking about eating ass, I'm like, oh God, like why would you know? Like just
Well, I have that joke about eating ass and then people are like, oh no, no. It's like, you know, you can write jokes. They don't have to be from your real
life. Exactly what you want. Yes. Oh my God. That's yes, I agree. And that's the thing. I've only recently started writing jokes about farts and masturbation, because I don't like to tell people that I do either of those things. So I'm like, well, I'm finally getting comfortable enough with him, like, and then I'll just be like, but I'll imply that I didn't do it because I don't do those things. Like, yeah. I don't fart. I don't masturbate. That doesn't happen. Like,
I open up with my masturbation joke.
I can't really escape it. Masturbation joke. Amber was actually at the infamous show this last weekend where 4,500 people in two party buses showed up. We're talking about this with Ginger earlier.
I missed this. Well,
my favorite was Amber. I think you were having a bad day or something.
Terrible
day. And she
day.
Came in and she, like, her face was just like, why is this happening? And I was like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't help that this is happening. But you did fine. You did great. Everyone liked
you. Thank you.
My favorite, oh my God, holy shit. So you've only been doing this 6 months as well, and she was, like, handling it like a fucking boss. Because at one point, there was a guy at the bar, I think he was, like, trying to hit on you while you were on stage. And you were like, sir, you have your arm around another woman. Like, just totally called him out while she was on stage. I'm like, that's more shit than I could do even right now. Like, I don't think I could have.
I was like, what was happening? He had his arm around the girl next to him. And then he was, like, saying stuff to me, like, hitting on me kind of thing. And I was like, dude, I can see you. You know that, right? Like, I see her. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting me in this position?
It was amazing because she's like, sir, you have your arm around another woman. And he just kind of like shrank like down and his arm slowly like lowered away from the other girl. And the what girl just kind of leaned forward onto the bar. It was, the whole thing was amazing. It was fantastic.
Bad boys.
It was good. So you had... It affected your childhood. You had it affect you into high school. And then you realized you wanted to become more of a social person.
Yes.
Did that allow you to let go a little bit of the perfectionist attitude? Or did it sort of creep into the sort of mentality of trying to become more?
So I kind of turned it. I started laughing at my imperfections. Okay. Like laughing at my mistakes.
Okay.
So kind of like. You got, you know, the bully mentality. It's like, oh, if I laugh at myself first, they can't laugh at me. Because I'm laughing first, like, they can't hurt me,
you take
whatever.
Those wind out of their sails sort of thing.
Yeah. So I started kind of being that, like, funny person. Like, even though I was smart, like, I would say stupid things to be like, this is funny.
Yeah.
And, like, then you kind of have the issue where people think you're actually dumb.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's a joke. Right. Like, come on.
Right.
So you kind of, it's finding that balance where you're like making fun of yourself, but not to the point where people are like laughing at you, but they're laughing with you because they get that it's funny, that right. they get that it's a joke. And I became really outgoing in high school. Like my senior year, I was the person that did everything. Like I was the first girl spirit captain. I was the mascot.
Oh, shit.
I did the morning announcements, and that was like you and one other person.
Did you have a xylophone?
I wish. We had a green fact of the day.
What is that?
Because we were – our high school were so cheesy. We're like so High School Musical.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get into that. But we were all about like being – like, oh, recycle facts or green facts, and like just being like really conscientious about stuff, like trying to be a progressive. We're the suburbs, like, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like white people trying super hard to like, you know, push down their white guilt. I don't know.
Okay. Were you a token minority?
No, okay. Actually.
Did anyone even know that, like, you had, like, that you weren't just white?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard to tell. I mean, like, you do just look like you might just be brunette and have dark eyes.
Right.
Like, you don't really necessarily look.
So in my hometown, we speak over 96 languages.
What?
Yeah.
In Michigan?
In where I'm from. So Oakland County.
Okay.
Vishnu's from Oakland County.
Oh, no shit. Did you guys know each other before?
No.
That's weird.
He's a baby. He's like 6 years younger than me.
Oh, yeah. Vishnu Akala. He's a new comic on the scene who beat me in the Cleveland Comedy Opening the other night. Aww. Fuck you, guy. But he is really funny. So he deserved it. Okay. Anyway.
He's super funny. And you were too.
Thank you.
But yes, it was a very diverse area. And we have, you know, like all different ethnicities, and like the people that ruled the school were actually like the diverse group because they were all super smart and like sorry, stereotypes, but like.
Did they value like the smarter kids at your school? Because that's not always the case. It's like, that's kind of almost like bizarro world. You know what I mean?
Right. Like they were the AP. They literally called themselves the A team. And A meant Asian, but they weren't all Asian.
Okay.
They were like
African.
Yeah, Africa.
See, that's A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Austrian.
Asian. I don't know. I'm just making
The Indians that. Were in that too. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But they were really smart and they were really outgoing. So they like ran like the senior class stuff. But I was in charge of like all of the homecomings and dances that we had.
That's cool.
So like I got to use my perfectionism to execute these dances
in a sort of healthy way.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and like I got to like be neurotic about like all this stuff because I was in charge of it.
Yeah,
and it was really cool because I was really close with my physics teacher, Mr. Hecker. He was really cool.
Shout out, Mr. Hecker.
Yeah, he looks like Gene Wilder.
Oh, cool.
Like, end of description. And okay, he rides a skateboard around. So, you know, he's cool.
teacher. Just reminds me, I feel like there was a teacher like that in Saved by the Bell. Like, that there was, like, a professor at their college that was like that. He would, like, sit in chairs backwards and, like, want to rap with the kids about,
like, Boy Meets World.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that guy? There was the hot teacher
Mr.
with the long
Turner?
Hair. Yeah,
Mr. Turner.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked Mr. Turner.
Yeah, he was pretty. Whatever happened to that guy?
we'll IMDb him later.
Yeah, we should IMDb him later.
But yeah, he put me in charge of everything, and he was like, you know, just you're in charge. Like, I'm the teacher person. Like, I'll just okay everything, but like, this is all you. And he said it was the most successful homecoming we've had in 15 years when he was like teacher advisor for it. So I like take that to the bank all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was really proud. But yeah, I got to use it in that way. And then going into – I was also in the AV club. Okay. It was cool, though. We called it TV10, so it wasn't like
AV. Oh, my
AV
God. You guys
club.
Had your own little TV station.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we did so news great. Every week, and we did projects. So I got to use, again, like my neurotic perfectionism to, you know, write scripts and just make sure everything's perfect because that's what I want to be. I want to be a producer.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I have been a producer before. But I want to get back into it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you did all that in high school, and then you went to Western Michigan University.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any of that sort of related stuff when you were in college?
Yes.
Okay.
So I started off as a film major, and this is back when I first started college. This is when Michigan had those tax breaks, so all of the movies were coming to Michigan to film because it was cheaper. And they were starting to say the industry was moving to the Midwest and that Midwest was going to be the new Hollywood. So I was like, yes, like I don't have to move.
Yeah.
But then they repealed all those tax laws and I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? Because all the jobs were then gone. So I heard that a lot of people that go into the film industry start off in advertising. So I got a minor in advertising, and I already had a minor in Spanish too.
Okay.
But I didn't know what I was doing in the business school because the advertising was through the business school.
Okay.
And I didn't know what I was doing there, and everyone was so professional. And I'm just like this artsy, fartsy film student, like trying to be professional. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I joined a business fraternity.
Holy shit, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much right now about things I did not know.
It's a co-ed business fraternity, so there's boys and girls.
Interesting.
Because
I think I had read, you had posted something about you'd been in a fraternity. I'm like, wait a minute, how does that work? That's so interesting.
And we were tough. Like, I'm not allowed to say for the record, we didn't haze.
Quote unquote.
We did not.
Air quotes.
We did not haze.
It sounds like such a nerdy fraternity, though. Like, you'd make someone solve a really complicated math problem while high would be, like, the hazing ritual.
My pledge semester, I cried literally every single day.
No!
It was so tough. Aww. You had to memorize the entire booklet word for word, punctuation per punctuation.
Wait, so that's the hazing?
See?
Well, see? You see? The non-hazing.
Those are tests that you're aware of ahead of time, and they give you the answers, therefore.
Were there paddles involved in April? Oh, shit!
I have.
I was not expecting that.
I have my paddle at my house.
They give you your paddle? That's amazing.
Your little makes it for you.
Oh, yeah. So I'm mm-hmm. familiar with the littles and bigs. I never mm-hmm. did sororities or fraternities, but I have a lot of friends who have. So, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
My little is now dating my ex.
No.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
No.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not
okay.
I can relate.
That's super crazy.
I can relate to that a little bit.
Yeah. I know. And she was the type of person when everyone was posting like the equal sign, you know, for like equal marriage laws.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She put a cross for hers and he's like super chill dude. What? So I was like, what is this? Yeah. No, but I like worked my way up. I was pledge class president. I did all these different positions within the fraternity. We did multiple events. So I was doing like advertising, marketing within the fraternity. And then I was pledge mom. And then I was president my last year.
No shit. That's great. Yeah. Aww.
Yes.
So, okay. So you feel, I mean, it sounds to me like a lot of the elements of perfectionism have gotten you some pretty cool.
It's having to use the perfectionist skills or like that part of me to push it in a direction that will help me rather than self-criticize.
Right.
Yeah. Because that is obviously prevalent too. Like I've had bouts of depression and self-harm and you feel like you're not good enough. You feel like you're not deserving because it's really hard to come out of depression when people are like, you deserve to be happy. But it's like
you don't
in that
you
mindset. Know. Yeah. You're like, do I though? I'm not that good of a person.
Yeah.
I don't deserve to be happy. And then you're kind of stuck in that place until something else changes your mind.
What other factors besides sort of that initial pressure you received from your mom growing up, like what other external factors have sort of driven you into, I mean, has it been any, or has it been more self-driven into like self-criticism and that perfectionism?
Maybe for looks wise, like dating probably.
Okay.
You
just feel like you need to be more perfectionist about your physical aesthetic than a lot of people would just because you feel like you need to try harder in order to like get dates or.
Yeah. Cause I've always been more of a tomboy.
Okay.
Growing up, I was always a tomboy, but then in middle school I made friends with, this girl, and she was very girly. She's like, let's go to the pool every single day this summer. And we'd get magazines, and I would like jump in the pool and be like splashing around. Yeah. And she's like, Amber, we're supposed to be by the pool reading the magazines. Like, she taught me how to pluck my eyebrows. Yeah. She popped my pimples. Yeah. Like, she taught me how to be a girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, I see the benefit to this. Like, I see how putting on a professional look is important, but then it's also balancing it with knowing when to do it. Like when I'm going to do a show, I'm going to show up looking professional, hair done, makeup done.
That's
one
thing
I
will say about you. Holy shit. She shows up to my show, which I love my show, whatever, but it's not like, it's a fucking dive bar. Like I show up most of the time. Like I look like right now.
You're always cute.
I look like a babushka lady. Like I have
a
hoodie with a hat and a scarf. I always put makeup on because I like just like how I look with makeup. But for the most part, like I don't try very hard when I go to my shows. And she shows up in a fucking blazer with like her like eyeliner winged, and she's like looks amazing, smells amazing. Like just she has fucking got her shit together. I've never seen you show up like half assed. What's really funny is she and I did what would you call it? Like a sketch thing for that Public Access 3000 that Aldous Mustache is doing. Shout out to Aldous Mustache. So she and I both played prison inmates, and they put us in like jumpsuits. So I showed up like no makeup, no hair.
They told you not to.
Yeah, they're like, don't do your makeup.
Yeah, like Orange is the New Black style.
And then I run into her, and she's got like full on makeup, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
To be fair, I did not have full makeup.
She looked amazing.
I put my base on. Because I can't leave the house.
First thing
with
I
this
said, I was like,
skin.
Hi, Amber, you look amazing. You did your makeup. And she was like, oh, yeah, I made up a story about that.
Oh, yeah, I said I was like flirting with the guards, and that's how I got lip gloss or something.
Except that like she had like full on like blush and eyeliner, and like she looked fantastic.
Thanks.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing I will say for you. Like, you've never, and granted, you've only been doing this for 6 months, but I've never.
Oh, there's
seen
time
you
to give
not,
up.
Yeah.
There's
never,
time.
At this point, I have never seen you show up to looking anything but like extremely professional and having like it all together when you show up for comedy stuff. So
thank you. I appreciate like people seeing that because I want to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that's why I put in effort when I can.
It's respectful, I think, especially like because you see like this person legitimately wants to be taken seriously. They want to do well. And that's not to say like a lot of people at my shows, I mean, I think most people who show up to shows, my shows or otherwise, are there to give their best because ultimately they want to be received by the crowd well. But it is stunning to me how sometimes I'll see people show up in like just like, pajamas or, you know, I saw someone show up in a Snuggie once and it wasn't part of their act. It was just because they were comfortable.
It's also showing respect to the bookers too, because I think Pete, I mean, say what you want about my comedy, whether or not you think I'm funny, but you know, I'm showing up, I'm putting an effort, and I'm going to show that I'm working hard at it and I'm looking professional so that people know that I'm taking it seriously and know that I'm taking them seriously as a booker and a venue.
Well, and I think the thing about comedy, and I'm not going to apologize, I'm just going to again state that if you're listening to this podcast, I know you probably tuned in to talk about us, listen to us talk about mushy-gushy feelings, but there are comedians on this podcast, so we're going to fucking talk about comedy, so you have to deal with it. Is that the bar is set very low. Like, the bar is set so low as far as, like, what you wear and how you behave. Because one of the things I think that's ultimately for me, and you've probably experienced this too, is that so much of it is just showing up when you're supposed to fucking show up.
Yeah.
Because it is stunning to me how few people can just manage that.
Really?
Right? And, yeah, and the fact that, like, you know, I would say of half the people who don't show up, you know, half of them call or text or message like, I can't make it because I don't have a ride or I don't whatever. But the other half just don't fucking show up. And it's like, yeah, I didn't have a ride. Well, why didn't you DM me? Like, we were really high. Like, I just, it's stunning to me how far the bar is set as far as low. So when you do show up looking like a million bucks like Amber does to all the things, you stand out more because you're actually treating this like you would any other profession.
Right. You're like a professional
now,
gig.
Now, granted, you have to show up and do the work, too. Like, if you show up looking like a million bucks and then you go up and you, like, eat shit every night because you're shitty at telling jokes, then everyone's going to basically think that you're a glorified, like, puppeteer.
And then you should have a butt party.
Have a butt party and you're a good comic. But that's the thing. Like, there are a lot of people I've seen go up that are like all professionally dressed, but then I've seen them perform like four or five times and it's like, sir, you should probably not do this anymore. This is not for you, despite the fact that like you have the aesthetic. Like, you're just, so I think there's something to be said for when you have that talent and then you're also showing up and you're like, no, I know that this is like a place where people literally waltz in and like ripped up jeans and like holy t-shirts and show up.
And there's nothing wrong with that if that's your aesthetic.
If that's part of, and that's the thing, like if it's part of your act, like if you're the kind of person who's like, I'm a mechanic and I do math and this is my act, then yeah, like shitty jeans and torn up t-shirts are probably for you. But like, if you're up there trying to be taken seriously and you show up like 5 minutes before your set and like, you wander in and you look like, you know, your hair's all sticking straight up. And like, I don't know. There's just, to me, I'm pretty old school from the perspective of like, I notice people when, like, my favorite thing ever is when, apropos, we were talking about the roast battle. We got a roast battle coming up this weekend. Logan Rashaw would show up to these roast battles. Mike Calhoun would show up to these roast battles. They would look like a million fucking dollars. Like,
those boys.
Suits, ties, like, and they were well fit. They were, I mean, I would swear, probably, I'm sure Mike Calhoun got his tailored, but like, they were just like these well fitting suits and ties and like all this stuff. And it was just like, you just wanted to listen to what they had to say because you're like, whoa, what the shit? Because everybody else up there is in like, you know, a baseball cap and a hoodie. And like, you just were that much more compelled to listen to what they had to say because they were dressed the part.
I will say two things to that. I don't personally know Mike Calhoun that well, but I've been hanging out with Tabitha and they're good friends, and all I know is that we don't deserve him.
No, he's cool. Oh, man. Like, he came so Sad Boy Social Club came out and did a show at my show a couple weeks ago.
They're good.
He's part of the sketch group. And I think he used to do stand-up, but now he just does sketch. He is a beautiful man, first of all. Like, if you ever see a photo of him, like, we'll find photos and show them to you later. Like,
snaps.
Like, he just looks like he should be, like, a Gucci model or something. Like, he's insanely beautiful. But he's hilarious, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really funny guy. He's really good at, like, he used to have a, I think he still does, or he just recently stopped doing it, a podcast where he just had people come on and do characters and, like, stuff like that. And he asked me to do it once. I'm like, I don't have a character, so I'm not sure what I would do. But
I know. I want to do more, like, impressions. That's, like, my next goal for myself.
It's interesting because Ginger was talking about how, like, she's only been doing it 6 months. And she said, like, she started doing, like, alt stuff where she would go up and she's like, I'm George Marlin and I'm doing fish comedy. And, like, I guess she got, like, a fish head and, like, this whole thing. And I was like, holy shit. I don't have the balls to kind of pull that kind of shit off. Like, right now I'm just all like, please think I'm funny. And, like, just trying to do the things people would expect me to do and not, like, alt shit like that. So.
I know. That's all. I saw her do that routine.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like, you're so, I didn't say this to her face, but I was like, wow, you're so brave, you know? Like, to try something new like that out there.
And just not care.
Yeah, like, that's or at least terrifying to me. Like
that. Yeah.
But so, Pete apparently told her to not do that.
Yeah, that's what she said. Oh, Pete. That was the thing. Like, we each have this great comment. She's like, oh, the funny stop, or the funny goes to stop. Because it's just like, you just don't. It's a hit or miss.
I love Pete, though. He's a character. Pete's but the other point I was going to say is I don't show up early to things. I'm really bad about it. And that's something I'm working on, but I can't.
What is the drive behind that? Like, you just don't like to show up early, or?
It's because I'm taking too much time to do my makeup.
Okay. That's all
time management.
Or my hair,
I always apologize to our Pete here because we'll schedule our podcast at like 6, and there's never been a time yet where I've shown up at 6. I either show up at 5:30 or I show up at 6:15. Like, and I'm like, I don't know what my problem is, but I can't hit that target no matter what, how much I try. I'm either leaving way too early or I'm leaving because I, again, was drawing my eyeliner or my eyebrows or something for 15 minutes.
Exactly.
It took way too long. Do you find that the perfectionism has trickled into your comedy?
Yes. Yes, in the way that I'm, and I feel like this is with a lot of comedians, just I'm very self-critical. And if people come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh, you had a good set or a good job, I'll be like, if I didn't have a good set, then it wasn't good. And that's kind of how I feel about myself, like, day to day. Like, my cousin is my best friend, and she is, like, the only person that really understands this. But even if I'm looking put together, if I don't like the way that I look, I don't want to hear that I look good. I don't want to hear compliments.
Yep.
And it's hard to make people understand that because they're like, oh, you're bitchy or whatever. But it's like, I'm sorry. I just, like, feel that way.
I have, like, really weird bouts of, like, literally no matter what I put on, I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going outside. It's like the weirdest.
It sucks.
Like, I'm so angry and dissatisfied with how I look, and I just feel like shit, and I just, like, my whole mood will just be trash the rest of the night.
If I have a bad hair day, it's a bad day.
Have either of you ever had, like, much kind of like your point where someone's like, you look nice, or you did a great job, and you're like, fuck! Like, it makes you angry when, like, someone, like, you don't want to hear it. Like, I don't know.
And I don't know why. Like, they don't deserve that. And, like, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just in a shitty mood.
I don't know if I've ever gotten, like, angry at someone for saying it, but there's definitely been times where I'm just like,
thanks. I don't want to hear it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't agree.
Because unless in my mindset I'm either, like, open to the idea that I actually did a good job or that I look good, or that, like, I need someone to, like, affirm that I did something good, I don't want to fucking hear it. I feel bad for my boyfriend sometimes because he'll just be like, you did good. I'm like, fuck you. He doesn't deserve it, but it's just like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, like, you could have done better. Like, it's weird. There's times where I just legitimately want to hear, like, what is in my mind.
Be better.
Which is like, yeah, be better. You know what I mean? Like,
but that's what keeps you, like, going. Like, I don't know.
Do you want that out of people, I think, sometimes, though? Like, do you find, like, you want what you have in yourself as far as that sort of, like, having an outside voice telling you to do better, to be better, or would that sort of drag you further down?
It's so interesting to find that balance because I'm also really sensitive, obviously. And
you're not, though, because you're still doing comedy. If you were that sensitive, you would have, like, boo-hooed and went home, like, after the first time you
bombed. Right. It has made me grow a thicker skin.
Yeah.
Definitely. But at the same time, like, if anyone gives me feedback, even if it's just like, oh, work harder on this, it's like, I do want to hear that feedback. But then there's times where if I hear that, I'm like, ah, I'm not good enough. Or like,
does it depend on who it comes from?
Definitely.
Okay.
100%.
So if it comes from your cousin who's your best friend, or you're like, yeah, this is good information, or is it like, oh, God.
Like, if I sometimes, because we all get in our own heads, mm-hmm. and sometimes I need to be told I'm being an asshole.
Okay.
And then it's like, if you just tell me I'm being an asshole, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I was so in my head. I didn't realize how I was coming off. I didn't realize how I was treating people. Please tell me that so that I can fix that, because I don't mean to do that mm-hmm. to you, because I care about our friendship and I care about you and how I treat you. So it's like good to hear that feedback. And then sometimes there's unsolicited advice, mm-hmm. but then there's people that I care about and I care about their opinion and I want to hear what they have to say.
But you didn't ask for it? Is that kind of the dichotomy? Or you did ask
sometimes,
for it?
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's – you want to hear it. Yeah, it just depends on who you like.
So do you find like when you ask for it, it's fine. When you don't ask for it, it's harder, or?
It also depends on the mood.
Who it is.
And it depends on what the advice is. Okay. And then you also, when you give people advice, you have to realize like, hey, maybe they're going to take it. Maybe they're not. If they don't, and I think it's good, valuable advice, then it's their loss. But you can't get mad at people for not taking unsolicited advice.
It strikes me as the interesting like – piece of the internet right now, like especially with women and men, like women really resent any sort of man that gives them unsolicited advice. But if women try to give it to each other, it's a little bit more like of an interesting, like, all right, I'll take that into consideration. But it's funny because like Gigi knows, like I'm the queen of like old school from the perspective of like, I just hate like women blaming all their problems on men sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I hate
that's
a lot of the
war narrative.
Like, yeah. And I really get tired of like the idea that feminism is empowering until you want to become a victim to you. You know what I mean? Like I really struggle with all that. But I am classically the person that if there are a woman on my profile, like saying something like, maybe you shouldn't say it like that, cause that's a joke. I'm like, or, you know, it's not coming off as a joke. I would be like, oh, that's an interesting take. And if I had a guy say that exact same thing, oh, hey, thanks for the mansplaining, shithead. Right. Get off my fucking back. Like, it's just, it's funny to me. It's great to your point that like, we're all more open to listening to certain feedback from certain people in certain mindsets at certain times than we are in others. So,
well, I'm working right now on a new type five, like something like all of them, all the jokes being new in that mm-hmm. set. And I'm really trying hard to stay away from sexual things because I don't want to be sexualized.
Sure.
And I've only, people have like told me that like, oh, don't sexualize yourself as a woman because it's so much harder. But it's also like, I'm going to do what I want to do because when I say sexual things, I feel like a 12-year-old boy laughing at a poop joke.
Me too.
So, like, I'm going to say it. But, like, I did a show in Amherst a couple weeks ago at the Poorhouse.
Okay.
And I did that masturbation joke, which I think is funny.
It's really funny.
And this guy came up to me afterwards, and he's like, oh, we were, like, going to this, like, recording studio after the show just to, like, hang out. And the guy was like, oh, so-and-so's riding with you. Are you going to give him a little show? Are you going to, like, you know, fat, fat, fat next to him? And I'm like, you're an adult. Why do you think that's an okay thing to say to another person?
It amazes me still to this day. The one thing I will definitely say, and maybe this is just my optimism, but, like, I think the internet and social media has made people much more self-aware of how they sound because they can see, like, they can see it written out. And they can be like, oh, shit, like, and then they have people to call them out, too, like, they'll write something like, oh, like someone will take a really cute picture of themselves and be like, those clothes would look better on my floor. And then when they post it, first of all, you can see it and you can read it back to yourself. And then you have immediate feedback, which is like, really, dude? And it's funny because 9 times out of 10, I'll see that posted. Within 5 minutes, it's deleted because the dude, I think, is instantly like, oh, shit, that's what I sound like. Oh, fuck. And I think that's one positive about social media is that people are really honestly willing to become better people or wanting to become more self-aware or at the very least become more socially accepted. You have that visual and that immediate feedback versus someone who would say something to you like that. And the thing is, when people say things like that, I think a lot of us are very reticent to say, like, really, dude? You know what I mean? Like, we're better about that than we used to be. But I think, like, I'm still the kind of person. I had some guy come up to me the other night and give me a back. Like, I just met him that night and he starts giving me this, like, really intense back rub, like shoulder rub. And the problem is that, and I know, and this is the thing people always get, like, shitty with me about. It's like, you should just tell him to fuck off. And it's like, I'm not the kind of person who can just tell people to fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a nice person.
So you had just met him.
And I just met him. And he just starts coming up and like doing like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Arrested Development, but there's this character in Arrested Development played by Tony Hale who just randomly goes up and starts giving people really uncomfortable, like digs his thumbs in, back rubs. And they're always like, okay, all right, okay, that's nice. And that's literally what it was. And it was like, I don't know how to tell this guy to like stop fucking touching me. Like we'd met like an hour previous. We were working on a project. It was like, I don't want to like out this guy, so I'm not going to say what it was, but you were there. It was a couple weeks ago, at an event where people were performing and I was not, and that's all I'm really going to say about that.
But like, what was the purpose of that?
So there was an event where I was judging and then there was another judge and the judge was like, being really like,
was he doing it?
He had been very flirtatious the whole night, which I can deal with. Like, I can, like, I'm, that's fine. Yeah, and but he seemed like a nice guy. Like, really? But at one point, like, I think he had just, he was like knocking him back. And so this was the end of the night. And so he just kind of comes up behind me and just starts doing like one of these. And I'm like, okay, all right, we're okay. Like, and I don't know how to be like, stop. Like, I don't know how to do that politely because the thing is, too, the problem with.
Then you all get called a bitch.
And the problem with all of this, and a lot of it is sexism, but a lot of it I think is in general. You can't tell people that you have to potentially work with later on to fuck off. Like you have to be diplomatic because you're going to have to work with that person again.
Yeah.
And that's always been my thing. It's not even, a lot of it is about being nice, but a lot of it furthermore, even if a woman had done it, it would have been like, I got to work with this person again and I can't tell them to fucking
either way.
It
it's just kind of weird.
It is weird. It's just, I think it's so easy for people to be like, why didn't you just tell them to fuck off? And it's like, because I have to potentially work with this person again.
And yeah. I think there's a difference between like being diplomatic about it and letting it continue.
Right.
Or like not saying anything and just like.
I just don't know how to find the balance.
I mean,
between,
you
like,
literally could have just been like, no thanks. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
see, and I don't know.
You could just, if they're doing it like in this like
so
drunken
tough,
casual way, brush it off at like, because it literally means nothing and just be like, no, like I'm good, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like,
ah. See, in my mind, it's easier said than done.
But maybe just totally. Like, I've had so many guys be like, man, with this Me Too movement, it's like, I'm kind of just like afraid to like talk to chicks. How are we supposed to like, you know, women were already so unapproachable. And I was like, don't be a creeper.
Don't touch us like, when we don't ask you
they're
to.
They're like, well, what if I have to go up to a girl at work? I'm like, then talk about work. Like they're your coworker.
It's not hard. Like,
it's not a meat market.
My eyes
first
roll
of
back
all.
To the back of my head.
I was like, you need to be, if you're at work, be professional. Talk to them like a coworker that you respect and not someone that you're on a date with. So don't cross any type of boundary like that.
You shouldn't and talk
you,
to people
you
like
also
that on
should
a
just
date.
Have your own back because you're at work and whatever. And you work at a law firm anyway, so shut up. And if you're out at a bar, just don't be an asshole. Like, it's that simple. Like, when did being just, like, a good human become so hard?
Well, and I think people think of it as very, like, segregated things, but really it's not. Like, ultimately it boils down to, like, your ability to function as, like, a human being socially versus being unable to. And it's one thing where it's like, I have trouble talking to people. It's another, like, I don't think it's exclusive to men, the inability to, like, have a normal conversation. You know
read
what I mean?
Read social
like,
cues,
men
too.
Can, yeah, read social
cues,
exactly.
It's all about social, yeah.
Now, men are worse about it because I think they've been given the idea that, like, everything they do is fine and that shouldn't be judged. And that's changed, I think, considerably in just the last couple of years. But ultimately, like, it all does just boil down to, like, are you aware of what you sound like right now? Are you aware of what you're
well,
doing
I
right
think
now?
That just across the board, people who are generally, like, not good at reading social cues are typically, like, more nervous people and, like, socially awkward by nature.
Yeah.
So when they're interacting, they're literally in their own – they have, like, tunnel vision. And they're in their own head overthinking what they're doing. And they're like, oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
That they don't
realize –
I'm
going to make a really inappropriate joke about you rubbing one out in the car when we all go to this recording studio.
It's just, like, word vomit. And then, like, they don't notice if the girl is, like, crab walking away because she's like, no, I'm done. Bye. We're done. And they're just like, hey. Yes. And it's like, no, we're done. Like, snap out of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I guess I have more empathy, I think, for a lot of people because they just write it off as like, oh, that guy's a jerk or a perv or whatever. And it's like, no, he just has no concept of how to talk to human beings.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that excuses it. I'm just saying, like, don't look at it as like, he's a predator. But more just like, he's fucking clueless and probably talks to everybody this way and probably doesn't have a lot of friends as a result. Don't
but
take it
as
like.
But you also have to like, I don't know.
So my thing with this whole movement and I try not to get too political with it because I've realized reading conversations on Facebook that people are having, being in conversations socially and on the internet, that I'm a lot more moderate than I thought I was. And my thing with it is I think we just need to have more vocabulary to talk about these things. Yeah. And that may need to be new vocabulary that we have to come up with in order to talk about it. But I don't think it's fair, because I've had guys that have – guy friends that have been wrongly accused of things because women don't know how to talk about it because it's just like sexual assault or rape or – being creepy. Like there's like such a spectrum of it, and it doesn't make any of it right. But it's very different
degrees.
Like I have been raped
multiple
times. So it's like, I know the difference between a creepy guy and getting raped.
Yeah.
And I know that that guy saying that weird comment about fapping in the car is not the same thing as him putting his dick in me while I'm asleep.
It's been interesting to me because a lot of my friends who have been victims of rape and sexual assault are far more open-minded to this whole movement than. And that's something
we were literally
walking in talking about, is the people who I feel like are the most obnoxiously loud and judgmental are the people who have never experienced any of the hardships, whether it be racial oppression, sexual assault, rape, any of that stuff. And it's like, what are you so angry about? Like, go talk to people who have actually experienced these things, and they're far more open-minded because they've actually lived it. And furthermore,
had to deal with it.
What frustrates me about especially people who are on the far liberal side of the spectrum is like their whole mantra, their whole thing is being open-minded and understanding people. But they're some of the most closed-minded people I've ever met because they don't want to hear it. Like the second you combat them with something that's not a part of what their worldview is, they shut it down. Like the thing that frustrated me the most was when the New York Times tried to do an op-ed piece on like red state people who voted for Trump and are still supporting Trump and like all that kind of stuff. And they were trying to explain why poor people think and feel the way they do, which is not something many of these people who are very judgmental against them have ever experienced, because they're all like white and wealthy suburbanites and had parents who paid for their private school. And so on Twitter, they were immediately like, oh, well, why don't we just normalize cancer while we're at it then? And it's like, well, why don't you just fucking try to listen?
That's the same thing as saying I can't talk to a woman.
Yeah, like that's just – you're putting this sort of immediate sort of like blanket statement over everything that you don't want to hear. And that's ultimately what gets me so angry and so fired up, is just the idea that like anyone who still wears Jeep Wahoo now is a white supremacist. Like, you have to stop. Like, you can't think of things on that. That's not reality.
People, I like what you're saying about people needing to just listen and just like calm your roll. Like, let's hear people out. You may not agree with it, but we can all still get along. Like, you don't have to cut off people from your life just because you don't agree with them.
Necessarily coming from this, like, evil standpoint.
Yeah.
It's like everyone has different life experiences and points of view.
And you're not going to change anyone's mind by yelling at them and then just cutting them
off. Yeah, exactly.
You have to listen.
It's easier to stay in your own little bubble that way, but.
And like, I think the biggest part of change is just showing them that you're still compassionate, even though you don't share the same ideals. Because technically this country, we're allowed to be free and have different opinions, but I can still love all of my friends, even if we don't agree on the same things. I'll be like, okay, we don't agree on this, but guess what? I don't hate you as a person for having this opinion. I understand where you're coming from, but I don't agree with it.
Yep, absolutely. Bill Squire has a really good joke about, like, well, I wish we could all, like, take our political beliefs and take them as seriously as we take, like, our hobbies and interests.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have friends that love, like, lacrosse, and I'm not like, fuck you and your fucking lacrosse, and then cut them out of my life. Like, it's just a hobby. It's just an interest. So, like, why can't we just be equally as okay with hobbies and interests as we can with like our political views? And
Jesus was cool with everyone, dude.
Exactly.
Like, he hung out with whores and like taxpayers, which weren't good people.
And he talked to women all the
time.
Yeah.
And he managed to do it without making allusions to them rubbing one out in the car.
Yeah. And I bet he smoked weed.
If they had it. I bet it was like, what is it, hash that they have over in that area of the world?
Hashish.
Hashish. We got to wrap it up. I really don't want to, but we have to. Oh shit, we got the ham horn today.
Ooh.
Well, because we end every episode with a sound effect.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure what to do, and fucking Jeej saved the day and brought the ham horn.
Do you want the rap air horn or the ham horn?
We need to do the ham horn. I mean, we won't do it right this minute, but like when it's time, I think we should do ham horn because we already did rap horn.
Okay.
Amps, We are probably going to be airing this towards the end of February, early March. Do you have anything coming up around that time? Do you want to promote your social media? Anything like that?
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I have the same handle. It's Amber Made a Joke. Meda is my last name. It's spelled like dyslexic Medea. So it's AmberMaeda. Joke.
All right.
Hopefully you know how to spell that.
God, stop listening to this and go read a book if you haven't. Gigi, what do you got going on social media?
I am on Instagram at ggchick, g.g.chick.
I am at epicfall, E-P-I-C-F-A-U-L on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find me literally every Sunday until I'm probably dead at the new Tap House at 7 p.m. First weekend of every, or first Sunday of every month is open, and the last three Sundays are showcase. I want to thank OK Pants at OK Pants on all of the social media. He did our logo, and he is actually getting quite famous. So
yeah, he's awesome. Popular.
Yeah, he's super cool. Pete Milk, Milky Way Recordings, is making us sound awesome. Above Below Entertainment is our network. Lousy Media, Lousy Weather Media, I'm so sorry I do that every time, is their parent company. And Geege, do you have the ham horn?
I do.
I was not expecting that. That was a dude's voice. I think it was like every other time I heard like sassy lady be ham.
I thought it was going to be like ham slapping.
You know, it's like a ham. And like the one time I'd heard it was like ham. And it was like a lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not expecting that. That's very aggressive. Wait, you got to do it again.
Ham.
Okay. Love you. Bye.